Chapter 1. Merari, Jerusalem, 588 BC. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army and laid siege to it. Jeremiah 39:1. The strings of my harp felt like rods of iron in the cold mix of sleet and rain while I played David's shepherd's song in Jerusalem's empty streets. Eyes closed, my mind wandered through the valley of the shadow of death. How would I feed my sister and my son if I couldn't sell my harps? King Zedekiah's royal prophets had proven false, and my husband's cousin, Jeremiah, had been mournfully accurate. Babylon laid siege to our city 2 weeks ago, and even the elite here in the upper city bought only food in the market. You couldn't eat a harp. But I could at least provide a measure of peace and joy. Swaying to the gentle rhythm of my music, I opened my eyes and noticed the sandalmaker's wife packing up her wares. We were the only two merchants brave enough, or insane enough, to keep our booths open when both weather and Babylon threatened. But I'd rather be here than fighting with my sister at home. A trumpet blew, then another. The ground beneath me shook with the thunder of horses' hooves. The sandalmaker's wife and I exchanged a fearful glance, and she ran toward her home around the corner without a goodbye. More trumpets sounded, and now ram's horns joined them from atop the walls around our city. The market began to fill with noblemen and soldiers, rushing past me on their way to the palace. One man took his time, strolling past my booth with eyes as hungry as a jackal. "Your cousin Jeremiah has proven to be a false prophet, little Merari. Did you hear? The Babylonians are withdrawing. The siege is over, as the other prophets said." Jehukal, the chief of forced labor, peered down at me over a rotund middle, wiping sweat from his brow on a wintry day. "But I could speak in Jeremiah's favor if you agree to meet me after the council meeting." I smiled sweetly, suppressing a shudder, still strumming my harp. "I'm honored by your persistence, my lord, but as I've mentioned before, my son requires my attention at home." I stilled my harp and hoped to glean information to share with my husband's cousin, my cousin. "Have all of Nebuchadnezzar's armies withdrawn, or only some?" "Changing the subject can't quench my fire, but I'll play your little game." He glanced right and left. "My personal guard told me Nebuchadnezzar took the mercenaries as well as his Babylonian troops. I suspect the Egyptians have honored our treaty and drawn him away, but I'll find out more at the council meeting." Tracing his finger along my jawline, his eyes raked me with ungranted familiarity. Withdrawing a coin from his waist pouch, he tossed it into the basket at my feet. "I'll give you more information and 3 more pieces of silver if you come home with me after the meeting." I ducked my head, feigning shyness to hide my revulsion. "You flatter me with your attention, Lord Jehukal." I nodded at my harps on display. "If you purchased one of my harps, I could spend less time in the market tomorrow and offer your wife lessons so she might please you with the same songs I play." His bawdy laughter drew the attention of the growing crowd. "If I wanted a harp, Merari, I would buy one from the Babylonian merchants. Your harps are pretty little baubles, but when Nebuchadnezzar took our best soldiers and artisans, I stopped buying anything in Jerusalem." He walked away, laughing, and my cheeks burned at the smirks from onlookers. Furious, I began wrapping my pretty little baubles in thick blankets and placed them in my small wagon. That fat nobleman had no idea what craft and skill were involved in carving, drying, and stringing a harp. He was an imbecile, a fool. Like our king Zedekiah. Did he really think Egypt could save Judah from King Nebuchadnezzar's minions? When the siege began, market gossips talked of 6 nations fighting with the Babylonians. Edomites, of course. They found any excuse to harass us, still bitter generations after Jacob cheated Esau out of his birthright. Arabs, Persians, Scythians, Medes, and Syrians also joined the threat. All anxious to curry the favor of Nebuchadnezzar, the man who had conquered the invincible Assyrians. But Babylon's king possessed something far greater than mercenary armies and more valuable than his military mind. According to Yahweh and his prophet Jeremiah, Nebuchadnezzar was God's designated instrument of wrath on Judah. He held God's favor, which meant he could not fail.